Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
There's a quarter on the ground. Will you bend down and pick it up?
Yeah.
Because I will not.
Oh my God, look at this guy.
Wills and won'ts. Will eat a Cobb salad in a movie theater.
Yep.
Won't
yep.
pick up a quarter.
No, I cannot tell you the last time I used a coin in a transaction. Did I flip a coin once in the last 3 years? What? I think I've used a coin flipping app more recently than I've used a coin.
I'm going to have a trail of quarters from here to your car. For $10, you're going to pass those 40 quarters, not pick a single one of them up, and then I'm going to take them.
I would rather you give me $3 on one of these apps than you give me $10 in quarters.
Wow. This is not a mindset to become a millionaire.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Un-American, you would say. Un-American to leave a quarter on the ground like that.
You know what else is un-American?
What?
Losing last night.
Oh, you had to start with this?
Hey, listen.
6:03 and you're going to fire me up with this?
I fell asleep during the game, and I woke up to Uruguay scoring.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I see that Bolivia ties against Panama. And then I see all this stuff this morning about the referee.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, my goodness. You have no idea what my night was like last night. With that freaking team. It's too early for a rant on this, though, I think, right? 6:03. I don't want to wake everybody up. I don't want to wake everybody up with this. Greg Berhalter, you just wait, buddy. I got something in store for you a little bit later on in this show. What a epic failure and disaster by the U.S. men's national team last night. What a disgrace. Oh, yeah, I've got a little bit on that a little bit later on. Yes, I'm going to rant against America.
Sorry, didn't mean to get you so...
July 2nd, 2 days before our nation's birthday.
Didn't mean to get you so heated at 6:04 in
the
morning.
No, it's fine. It's
good. At least you're awake, though.
It's good, right. It fires me right up and we get ready to go. It's 4th of July week. We'll have shows tomorrow and Friday, and then we'll have the off day in between, of course, with the 4th of July on Thursday. We can get into this a little bit maybe tomorrow. 4th of July, can't you really only do like 3 different foods for like the main course? It's burgers, it's dogs, and like how far can you branch off of burgers and dogs?
If you get like
you're not going to have a baked ziti on the 4th of July, right?
You could.
But have you ever seen it done?
No.
Has anyone ever had a baked ziti on the 4th of July or
if you're
what?
If you're having like a smaller party and you really like your friends, you could get like little steaks.
Okay. Oh, yep.
Because you got the grill out.
Sure.
Like, why not? You know?
Steaks is good. You might have pulled pork, right, as like as an option. You could do barbecue.
Sloppy Joe's.
Yeah. I think you could go to that. Sloppy Joe's, barbecue, pulled pork.
Brisket.
Sure, that's under the barbecue umbrella, so brisket would be good. What else?
Potato salad?
Yeah. But you're not...
Oh, you're thinking mains. Not sides.
Mains, yeah, mains.
Okay.
Everyone's going to do burgers and dogs, though, right? Sabres yesterday. We'll get into a lot of it. Paul Hamilton will join the show a little bit later on, 7:30, about an hour and a half for him. Jeremy is going to jump in at 8 o'clock again today on free agency yesterday, so we'll get to that. The weather looks nice today. It was kind of chilly out this morning, but nothing crazy, so going to warm up.
Shorts report?
Shorts for sure. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I think good. We're on the same page.
I don't imagine wearing pants for weeks at least. Like, when's the next? Let's look at the 10-day forecast really quickly. Is there any time in the next 10 days where I would even consider wearing shorts? The lowest temperature I see in here is 63. So, no. It's actually, right now, it's 58 degrees. This is the coldest at this second that it's going to be maybe for 2 weeks straight. I'll be wearing shorts consistently throughout the next couple of weeks. I've got something I want to get into a little bit later in the week. A lot of little stuff going on in sports. The U.S., I guess, is not playing soccer anymore, so that's not happening. Wimbledon's this week. The Savannah Bananas are in town later in the week. I'm going to that. I am very excited about that. I don't know a lot about them, but I know what they are, and I've seen clips. I'm just looking at the weather right now, and it's looking good pretty much every day. So if you're going to the ballpark this weekend for that, that looks pretty good at this point in time, but, you know, we'll see as the week gets a little bit later on. Lots, lots, lots of hockey coming your way today. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you feel like you've got a rant in you today, if you feel like you want to fight against the notion that the sky is falling, if you want to defend the Sabres for what they did yesterday, give me a call. Pick up the phone, 803-0550. We'll get you on hold. We'll get you on pretty darn quickly. 0 minute wait time at this second. We'll get you right on if you've got a thought on yesterday and what we saw really through the weekend, too. You know, I saw some people tweeting like, hey, the offseason doesn't end today. The offseason doesn't end today. That's right. But, like, 80% or more of the offseason did end yesterday. 80 to 90% of the offseason is over. And there are some good things that happened yesterday. I actually like a couple of their signings a lot. Nicholas Obey-Kubel, to me, is maybe the signing that I liked the most yesterday. He is not a giant impact player, you know, career high 11 goals. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's the main difference between the Sabres making the playoffs or not, but that guy is super fast, is a great forechecker, is a great defender. Evolving Hockey has him in the 96th percentile for defensively last season. He is a great defensive player. And no, he's not going to give you a lot of offense, but at the same time, hard to play against, right? Big hits, fast, always on you. And they signed Sam Lafferty, and they trade for Beck Malenstein. Like, the theme of this weekend was, let's remake the bottom six. Even if they didn't fully want to remake it, because Žemgis Girgensons leaves for Tampa. 3-year deal, $825,000. That is finally over. Žemgis was here a long, long, long time. He was drafted 12 years ago, first played for the team 11 years ago. The guy played. Here's how long Žemgis Girgensons, there's no better way to put into context how long Zemgus Girgensons was on the Buffalo Sabres, then he played with Henrik Tillander. He played with Tillander. That's how long he was on this team. And for most of those years, what was he? He was a fine bottom six player. He definitely fell short of his expectations that he had as a young player. He was thought of as untouchable, right? Future, there was one summer where we thought we were all set for 10 years with Eichel, Reinhardt, Girgensons down the middle. And then they really didn't play those positions. Eichel did. But Girgensons was a fine bottom six player. For a long time, he was a fine bottom six player. My problem with him being on the team was always more what it said about the front office, what it said about the organization, that they kept bringing back a guy that was a part of basically the entire playoff drought when your fans could sink their teeth into a different name that could play the same role and you wouldn't get as much of the same stale feelings of inaction that you would if he kept coming back. The problem here, though, might be they didn't want him to leave. Adams yesterday talking about how they offered him a contract and how important he is to the group, how important he is to the fabric of the team. Just, oh my goodness. What are we talking? This guy plays 11 minutes a night on the fourth line and scored 14 points. He has never scored. He scored 20 points 9 years ago. Like, come on now. I don't mind at all. In fact, I do like what they did for their fourth line. I think their fourth line and their bottom six is better. I think it's more physical. I think it is better defensively, tougher to play against, better on the penalty kill. Lafferty, Malenstein, Obe Kubel. I think their fourth line is definitively better. My biggest problem, though, with any patting the Sabres on the back, or Adams patting himself on the back for what they did this weekend, is what were their top two goals? I would have had an answer for that. And I think the Sabres would have had the same answer because I just pulled up some old tweets on this. Dave Pagnotta from the fourth period on April 25th. Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts on May 4th. I'm sure there are others. Here's the Pagnotta one. Pagnotta reporting the Sabres are in search, this is on April 25th, are in search, right after the season, in search of a top six forward and a reliable third line center. Elliot Friedman, think the Sabres want to add a top six forward and a third line center. And I'm sure I could find five more examples of NHL insiders from April to now saying, what do the Sabres want? They want a top six forward and a third line center. Those were number one and number two on the wish list, on the things you need to add if you want to really make yourself a much better hockey team from last year to this year. What do you need to add more than anything? Third on that list for me would have been remake the bottom six. Definitely. So I'm good with that. And that was not 10th on the checklist, I don't think. I mean, clearly for the Sabres, it was higher than that. I would have put it third. A blue line, I'm completely fine, and I have been, so I don't need to touch that. Goalie, I didn't think, never thought they needed to do anything with that, and there were some people in the national media that had wrote about maybe they would add a goalie. I never thought that. Levi was arguably the best goaltender in the AHL last year at 22 years old. Levi last year had the best developmental season of any 22-year-old goaltender in the world. We just don't think of it that way because he didn't perform in the NHL the way we wanted him to. So goalie, I was good. Goalie, I was fine. Defense, I was fine. It was, sure, bottom six, but above that, they needed a top six forward. They needed a third line center. And maybe Jason Zucker is their idea of a top six forward. But man, if that's the idea, he is a better 200-foot hockey player, and I know that matters. But oh my goodness, look at the goal difference. In the last three seasons, Jeff Skinner out, who signs in Edmonton, by the way, and Whew. If that guy plays with Connor McDavid, I don't know that he will. Hyman often plays with McDavid. Maybe Skinner will play with Dreisaitl. But that guy's going to score 40 goals on that team this year, isn't he? Right? I don't know that he'll win the cup, although the way things have been going the last 5 years. I mean,
yeah, but he's up against Corey Perry's curse right now. You have the former Sabre winning a cup trend, and then you have Corey Perry losing
every single cup he's
in. Every single Stanley Cup he's in.
So something's got to give. Something's got to give. We'll see. Skinner hoisting the trophy next year would just, I mean, would it even be different? I mean, we've already seen it three times. Can we be hurt any more than we have been?
I'd be happy for that one. That one would be really cool.
Me too. The smile he would have on his face, the, you know, my wife yesterday, after just reading out loud, oh, Skinner signed with the Oilers. He's like, oh, he was such a bright light. That's Jeff Skinner. But listen, we thought they had to move on, right? Long story short, what was I getting to with that? They signed Zucker. They send Skinner out. They bring in Zucker. Okay, better 200-foot player. Not like Zucker, though, is like this unbelievable 200-foot player. I saw some of his defensive metrics yesterday. He's about a middle of the road, slightly below average player in his own end. Okay? Which is a lot better than Skinner. Skinner might have been the worst in the league. So there is that. But how about goals? How about top six? How about my goals scored? Because 2 years ago, they were third in the league in goal scoring, and there's all this want for them to return to that, right? Well, Jeff Skinner in the last 3 years has scored 93 goals, 31 goals a year, and Jason Zucker has scored 49. I just went from a guy who I know scores goals, who's down year. Skinner's down year last season was 24. That was his bad year. And Zucker, his good year, was 27. That's where the expectations of those two players lie right now. Zucker's good year was only 3 goals more than Skinner's bad year. So, I think they died.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Ungraded. It's pretty simple. Here's the thing, though. I can't believe he's going to be in the top six. Maybe he will be just because he has to. But I want to believe Adams is still going to bring in another guy. I can't, though. I want to believe it. I can't. It's been so long waiting for a big trade like the prospect for and pick for star player that we've always talked about. And I know that Adams, you know, some of the excuses that he made yesterday in the press conference for why that hasn't happened were real. Some of the excuses were real. Like how, you know, and maybe Martin Nietzsche is a name that comes to mind here in Carolina. He kind of had one comment that was, hey, don't blame me. Don't tell me, don't say that I'm not willing to pay the price because these guys didn't get traded. So maybe that team just doesn't want to trade him. Carolina comes to mind. Maybe they just don't want to trade Nietzsche. They just haven't done it yet. All right, like that one I can listen to. You're not going to get the benefit of the doubt, though, when it's been this long wanting a trade like that, waiting for a trade like that. The one excuse that I cannot listen to is that they don't want to spend to the cap because they have to save money for guys like Paterka and Quinn and Byram. The Sabres signed a bunch of one-year contracts yesterday. What are they talking about? They have got plenty of space. If they put aside, and they would never do this, but if they set aside $10 million a year each for Byram, Quinn, and Paterka, if you set aside $30 million for next season, for those three, for those extensions, you would still have more than $10 million left over. So they did not go out and sign a big... What did they add long-term yesterday? They added $2 million. For 2025, that's the year, right, that they're going to need to pay those three guys. Extensions, that's what Adams was talking about yesterday. How much did they get in the way of those contracts yesterday? $2 million. That's it. $2 million. That, to me, can't be the reason. I mean, there's only one of two explanations for why they are still about $10 million under the cap. One, they're just never going to be a cap team. Until they win, until they start making money again, the owner is not going to spend to the cap. That's one explanation. The other explanation is they are waiting out. They still believe that they are going to get the top six trade done. Right? That's the other explanation. You believe whichever one you want. Could be both, too. That's the top six forward part. The other pretty dumbfounding failure on the wish list is third line center. At this moment in time, there's no answer to that question. Well, actually, the answer to that question is, I guess right now it's Peyton Krebs. We just got to throw him back in that role. And I really liked the idea during last year of getting to see him with better line mates. And no, he didn't play with Alex Tuch. He didn't play with Paterka. He didn't play with Jack Quinn even. But he went from Okposo and Girgensons to, all right, here's some offensive talent. And he played a lot at the end of the year with Skinner, who when they were put together, say what you will about Skinner's season and how he went down, Skinner, when the line got put together, was on a 32-goal pace. Over 82 games, when Krebs got put with Skinner, Skinner was on a 32-goal pace. And all we know about Skinner, he is someone that will produce when he's with a good center. And he scored 0 goals in the final 12 games of the season. Krebs also got to play with Benson. And he was a rookie, I know, and he's not nearly the player that he's going to become. But still, I got to think he had more. And he did have 7 points in his final 7 games, which somehow, actually, I think he got taken off the Krebs line for that. Doesn't matter. He got put with better line mates. And did we see anything? Did we see any flashes? Did we see anything that makes you think, oh, yeah, that's a 50-point center next year for me on my third line? I didn't see any signs of that. Honestly, like Josh, you said this before we got going. Aren't we crossing our fingers that Matt Savoy is ready to be their third line center?
I feel like yes, and that's terrifying. Like you're a trapeze artist, and there's no safety net,
mm-hmm.
and it's your first time up on the high wire. Like this is, it's
a lot to count on.
It could go really, really good, but it's. Yeah. Like, you don't have proven success. Like, yes, he looked great in the WHL last year, but he's playing as...
He was an older
prospect. Adult against children. Like, these kids in the WHL are 18 years old getting ready to get drafted, and Savoy is, what, 20? 21?
He's not 20. He's probably... I think he's 20.
I think he's 20. But still, like, I'm not... There's no discredit to him. Like, he played great last year.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
Like, how quickly is that going to translate to a good NHL game
you don't just need
someone that's like a rookie that's like, oh yeah, like they'll be fine like in a little bit.
Yep.
Like, you need someone that's going to be good right now.
And that's a big we'll see, right? Like, you're right. Like, he could have the camp and preseason Benson had last year. He could just win the job. Or he could win a job on the team. And maybe, I don't think Kulik or Roseanne are going to do it. They've played more on the wing. Savoy feels like the one that would do it. And you might also think, like, while I'm saying this, like, hey, does he really fit, though, what they're doing in the bottom six? Well, not necessarily, but don't you want a little scoring in your bottom six? I don't need all small guys and all, you know, I don't need all Tyson Josts down there. I don't need all Peyton Krebs down there. I don't need all small guys that you might think are a little bit skilled. But this team will need some secondary scoring, won't they? And that's where my biggest concern lies right now is, sure, they got harder to play against. I think they got better defensively, and I like their bottom six in general more. My problem, though, with their bottom six is the most important role on the bottom six is third line center, and that's the position I feel the least comfortable with right now. And also, do I have anybody down there that I trust can give me a little bit of goal scoring? Because last year, or 2 years ago even, is really the year we should compare to, where they're our top five goal-scoring team in the league. And you would have wanted these guys 2 years ago. You would have wanted Obey Kubel 2 years ago. They probably would have made the playoffs with him, Lafferty, Malenstein. If those guys are on the team 2 years ago, I bet you they make the playoffs. But what did that bottom six also have? They had Casey Mittelstadt putting up 50, 60 points, and they had Victor Olofsson scoring 28 goals. And right now, what am I getting from my bottom six? Am I getting 10 goals a year on average? Like, who in that? Maybe Benson would be the answer to this. Maybe Benson or Zucker, right? Zucker giving me 20 on a third line. I mean, a lot suddenly goes, I think, to Krebs on, hey, dude, you got to produce more offensively. Because if I'm going to have any semblance of secondary scoring in my bottom six, like, you got to do it. Because I don't know where else I'm getting it. Actually, the where else I'm getting it is who we just talked about. It would be the rookie. It would be, up, Savoy's ready to go. And you're going to put him with Benson and Greenway on the third line. And that line's going to be able to chip a few goals in. Crossing my fingers. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's get, before the break, Paul in Buffalo in. What's up, Paul? Good morning.
You hit every point perfectly. So much of what I wanted to say, you just hammered. I'm trying to figure out which is the stupider move, trading away Casey Mittelstadt when we so desperately need a third line center, or buying out Jeff Skinner. How much better would this team look if Skinner was there on the first line with Tuck and Thompson? We bought him out for no reason to replace him with a less durable player, because I say that over a three-year average. Zucker averages 63 games a year, whereas Jeff Skinner averaged 78. A less gifted offensive player, because Zucker averages 17 goals over the last 3 years, whereas Skinner averages 31. Zucker certainly hits more. He's better in his own end, but I think so much of Zucker's numbers are brought up by the 22-23 season in Pittsburgh, where he managed to play 78 games, which is much more than he normally does. And if you look at that season, Crosby played 82 games, Malkin played 82 games, Gensel played 78 games, and lo and behold, Zucker manages to score 27 goals. He won't sniff 20 goals, Buffalo Sabres. He won't sniff it. That's a guarantee. Now, the team itself is certainly got a better fourth line right now, but we have no third line. We've got Zach Benson. If Zucker's going to be on a third line with Benson and Krebs, that's awful. I don't know what Savoy is supposed to come up here and do his first time playing against men in the NHL. I don't expect much from him. He should be coming up to play on a third line, but we shouldn't have him and Benson on the line because Benson's only 19. This is a shambles, this team, from an amateur staff with an amateur GM. I've heard so much about how great Nightingale and Karamanos are. You know what Nightingale and Karamanos' work product is? Tyson Jost, Eric Robertson, the fellow who got one punch to Adams, put him on the Corey Stillman. That's their work product. Trading away Casey Mittelstadt for another defenseman when we've already got two number one picks on the defense. And if you look at Bowen Byram's analytics after the first week he was a Sabre, it was some of the worst analytics of any defenseman in the NHL, Bowen Byram in a Sabre jersey. We don't ever talk about that because it's so damn embarrassing. But boy, do we miss Casey Mittelstadt already. Kevin Adams, you're a failure. This team's a joke. I hope Lindy can get him to play the neutral zone trap because that's the only chance we have.
Thanks, Paul, for the call. They are going to play, I think, a very different style under Lindy because I think that's what the roster is telling you right now. We just kind of went through it. I don't think they have the horses anymore to be the third leading team in the league in scoring. He mentions the Mittelstadt trade. That's a tough one for me because it's hindsight, right? At the time and leading up, that was the exact trade I wanted to see them make. Now, part of my reasoning on that, though, was counting on Krebs to ascend. And no signs of that right now. That's a problem. And Cousins falling off a cliff last year. Big problem. Because my reasoning for, hey, go trade Mittelstadt for a top four defenseman was, you're going to be fine at center. You've got Krebs, Cousins, and Thompson got the top two. You can afford to trade Mittelstadt. But right now, yeah, that doesn't look great because they're having a very hard time replacing him. Byram, I'm more optimistic than that. I know he had really, really bad possession numbers when he played with Henrioki Harju, but I don't expect he's going to play with Henrioki Harju. I think he's going to play with either Samuelson or he's going to play with Dahlin or he's going to play with Power in the top four. So I think that will look better. And it did look good when he was with Dahlin. A lot of guys look good with Dahlin, but he definitely did. So would I hit the reset button on that trade right now? I might, because they're having such a tough time. Because 2 years ago, here's the point about Lindy and, you know, like what style they're going to play. Is it going to really be this ultra defensive team or just a much more defensive team? 2 years ago, when they were top five in scoring, they had a 60-point center in Casey Mittelstadt on their third line and a 28-goal scorer, Victor Olofsson, as a role player. And they had a 35-goal, 82-point player on the wing in their top six, Jeff Skinner. And at this moment, I don't know that they have a replacement from 2 years ago for any of those three guys. Any of them. So Thompson might return to form, and Cousins might return to form, and Tuck might return closer to the offensive numbers he had, but those three, Mittelstadt, Skinner, and Olofsson, who scored a lot of points for them 2 years ago and contributed a lot offensively to them being third in the league in scoring, I feel like they don't have an answer to replacing any of those three at this moment. Maybe I'm being too harsh on Zucker. Maybe Zucker is capable, more than capable, of replacing the Olofsson production from 2 years ago. But I'm not seeing someone that produces as consistently as Skinner, and I am certainly not seeing anybody that is as good of a third-line center as Casey Mittelstadt is. 803-0550 is the phone number. Dan, if you hang on hold, you'll be the first up when we come back from break. We'll get some more calls in along the way. Do you think the Sabres have a better roster than last year? Is there an argument to make? Let's talk about the GM today, too, about his tenure and what is ahead if this season goes the way Sabre fans might start to be expecting it going. Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy will jump in at 8 o'clock. If you are on hold, stay there. We'll get to you, and we got some open phone lines, too, if you want to jump on hold at 803-0550. It's reaction day to July 1st not going well An annual tradition, you might say, among Sabre fans is being let down on July 1st. We'll get you through it here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.